Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today's class will be entitled Energy, and it is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 5, The Cause of All Causes, text number 22. And we'll start chanting. Kalad Guna Vyatikaraha. Kalar guna vyatikaraha. Parinama swabhavata. Parinama swabhavataha. Karmano janma mahata. Karmano janma mahata. Purusharishtitar. Abut. Purusharishtitar abut. Kalar guna vyatikara. Parinama svabhavataha. Karmano janma mahattaha. Pusharishtitarabhut. Kalar guna vyatikaraha. Parinama svabhavataha. Karmano janma mahattaha. Purushadishtitarabhut. Please chant. Uh-huh. Kamano janma mata purusharishtitarabhut. Vaishnavis. Thank you. Sattabut Kalat, from eternal time. Gunavyatikara, transformation of the modes by reaction. Parinama, transformation. Swabhavataha, from the nature. Karmana, of activities. Janma, creation. Mahata, of the Mahatattva. Purusha Arishtitat, because of the Purusha incarnation of the Lord. Abhut, It took place. After the incarnation of the first Purusha, Karanarana Vaisai Vishnu, the Mahatattva, or the principle of material creation, take place. And then time is manifested. And in course of time, the three qualities appear. Nature means the three qualitative appearances. They transform into activities. Please repeat. After the incarnation of the first Purusha, Karanarana Vaisai Vishnu, the Mahatattva, or the principles of material creation, take place. And then time is manifested. And in course of time, the three qualities appear. Nature means the three qualitative appearances. They transform into activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. By the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord, the whole material creation evolves by the process of transformation and reactions one after another. And by the same omnipotency, they are wound up again one after another and conserved in the body of the Supreme. Kala, or time, is the synonym of nature and is transformed manifestation of the principles of material creation. As such, Kala may be taken as the first cause of all creation. And by transformation of nature, different activities of the material world become visible. These activities may be taken up as the natural instinct of each and every living being, or even the inert objects. And after the manifestation of activities, there are varieties of products and byproducts of the same nature. Originally, these are all due to the Supreme Lord. The Vedanta Sutras and the Bhagavatam thus begin with the absolute truth as the beginning of all creations. Janmadi Asya Yataha. Om Jnana Tamanandasya Jananjana Salakya Chaksus Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpa Tubhischa, Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. After the incarnation of the first Purusha, Karanarana Vaisai Vishnu, the Mahatattva, or the principles of material creation, take place, and then time is manifested. And in course of time, the three qualities appear. Nature means the three qualitative appearances. They transform into activities. So I'll go back to the first slide again. And it shows the different energies here. So we see how Prabhupada uses the analogy of the artist who has the three primary colors. And he can mix these very nicely to create a wonderful painting, or mix them and take different colors like that. So there's a nice verse in the Adi Lila. It's 566. And it says, the reflected rays of his body mix with Maya, and this Maya gives birth to myriad universes. So there's some part of that purport I'd like to read, which talks about this energy. The Vedic conclusion is that the cosmic manifestation visible to the eyes of the conditioned soul is caused by the absolute truth. The personality of Godhead through the exertion of his specific energies. Although the conclusion of atheistic deliberations is manifested, cosmic exhibition is attributed to material nature. The energy of the Absolute Truth is exhibited in three ways: spiritual, material, and marginal. The Absolute Truth is identical with the spiritual energy. Only when contacted by the spiritual energy can the material energy work, and the temporary material manifestation thus appear active. In the conditioned state, the living entities of the marginal energy are a mixture of spiritual and material energies. The marginal energy is originally under the control of the spiritual energy, but under the control of the material energy, the living entities have been wandering in forgetfulness within the material world since time immemorial. So there's another section to that I'd like to read, which really struck me about energy. And Prabhupada continues there. The conditioned state is caused by misuse of the individual independence of the spiritual platform. For this separates the living entity from the association of the spiritual energy. But when the living entity is enlightened by the grace of the Supreme Lord or his pure devotee and becomes inclined to revive his original state of loving service, he is on the most auspicious platform of eternal bliss and knowledge. So here's one of the main points about energy. Hear what Srila Prabhupada says. So listen real carefully. The marginal jiva, or living entity, misuses his independence and becomes averse to the eternal service attitude when he independently thinks he is not energy, but the energetic. So here's the main point here. So we're thinking that I'm not energy, I'm the source of the energy, I'm energetic, you see. But actually we're energy. This misconception of his own existence leads him to the attitude of lording it over material nature. So that's a nice point there. And then as far as about these different modes and how they mix, this is very nicely described by Srila Prabhupada also in this purport. So here it says, the origin of creation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:10. The cosmic manifestation is working under the direction of the Supreme Lord, who invests the material energy with the three material qualities. Agitated by these qualities, the elements supplied by the material energy produce varieties of things. Just as an artist produces varieties of pictures by mixing three colors, red, yellow, and blue. Yellow represents the quality of goodness, red represents passion, and blue represents ignorance. Therefore, the colorful material creation is but an interaction of these three qualities represented in 81 varieties of mixtures. 3 times 3 equals 9, and 9 times 9 equals 81. Diluted by the material energy, the conditioned soul, enamored by these 81 varieties of manifestations, wants to lord it over material energy, just as a moth wants to enjoy a fire. This illusion is the net result of the conditioned soul's forgetfulness of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When conditioned, the soul is impelled by the material energy to engage in sense gratification, whereas when enlightened by the spiritual energy, engages himself in the service of the Supreme Lord in his eternal relationship. So here we are, we're the energy of Krishna. We're produced from Krishna. So the energy is meant to give pleasure or serve the energetic, the source. So if we can realize that we are the energy and we should utilize that energy to please Krishna, not to please something else or inferior. So in this particular verse, this chapter, the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're understanding the mystery and the process of creation, and it's authoritatively described here in this cause of all causes chapter. Of course, it'll be explained all throughout the Bhagavatam, many places. And also, I'll show some references from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which are very nice. But unfortunately, the scientific community, they don't want to accept this information, even if it's for their own benefit. They just simply want to speculate and come up with so many ludicrous ideas. And anybody who's a little intelligent and thoughtful, they'll see that these theories that these modern scientists are coming up with, they're just so strange and actually funny. It's like a joke. There's so many theories. They have the Big Bang theory, the primordial soup theory, the black hole theory. There's so many theories. There's a nice statement that says, truth is one, but lies are many. You see? And there's an interesting thing about the English language. There's two articles, the and a, like a or an. So the is used to refer to something specific, you know, like a particular noun. And a or an is used to modify non-specific things. So the is a definite article and a is an indefinite article. So if somebody says, you tell the truth, the truth. So that's reality, it's constant. But if you tell a lie, a means that it's indefinite. It's like you could say so many things. So reality is constant, but imagination is variable. So this is very nice. Even in the English language, you could see. So these scientists, they actually pass all these imaginative, funny theories as authoritative, you know, as if they are authentic. But they're actually just ludicrous. You see, they say, you know, and how can anybody accept anything as a product of an accident? They're considered to be, these scientists are supposed to be the most learned, the most wise, and authoritative individuals. But they come up with so many strange, just totally unacceptable, imaginary concepts. And the world is accepting it, which is amazing. But if we see that they're a little honest and they would accept the authorities of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then they would actually get some understanding. There won't be any confusion. There won't be any contradictions. So and also, there's so many vast Vedic literatures, and they're all in agreement as to the cause of all causes. And what you will see in this chapter is the glance of Mahavishnu causes everything to manifest like that. So Prabhupada describes here how these material scientists, they're conditioned by the spell of Maya, material nature, and they think that this material energy just acts automatically. So therefore they're frustrated, and they said it's just like an illusioned person who tries to get milk from the nipple-like bunches of skin on the neck of a goat. So as there's no possibility of getting milk from these bunches of skin, so similarly, there's no possibility that anyone will be successful in understanding the original cause of the material energy, of this material nature. So all they do is they just put forward theories produced by the material energy. And this is just Prabhupada describes as a manifestation of ignorance. And in the same Adi Lila, there's a verse actually that says there, therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples on the neck of a goat, for they cannot give any milk. So this is a nice analogy that's used in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So they say everything comes from the Big Bang, right? So we can ask, well, where did the Big Bang come from? What's the source of the Big Bang? There would be a big noise, right? Just like if there's an accident, What context did that accident take place? You're saying there's nothing before that, and now you're saying there's an accident. And from that, creation came about. So can accidents take place out of nothing? It actually must have a place. It must be, you know, in something. It must be about something. It must be in relationship to something. Just like this car crash. You know, the car's there. If the car's not there, then what's the question of the accident of the car? So these are the ludicrous statements given by these so-called scientists. Not to say, I'm not saying that they're all scientists are ludicrous, but actually some actually are. But intelligent people, they're actually understanding about this ludicrous nature of these ideas. So can anybody recognize what that is? Those are, yeah, this is in the printing presses. Actually, when I used to be a boy, I used to have a paper route, and we used to go to the Chronicle News, and we used to go inside, and you could see these machines. They would actually be putting all the letters together. These are lead, and in these little drawers here, they're all flat, but when you stand them up, there's letters on them. And they have to meticulously just make all the words and put them together and put them like that. And then they put them on the printing press. And then they that actually makes the paper goes over those. They put ink on top of the letters and it picks up the story. So as I mentioned, there's intelligent people that actually are recognizing how these scientists are just, you know, ludicrous. So there was one American philosopher, he stated that the concept that creation came out of an accident is as absurd as saying that there was an explosion in a printing press and the types, when they fell, the Webster Dictionary was printed. This is how ludicrous that sounds. What do you expect from an explosion? You know, all you get is chaos. He's saying that the letters fell in order. And there was a very beautiful book that was explained. So just like this. So you have the printing press, you have the letter, you have the paper, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's a huge explosion. And you get this beautiful book. You know. So this is what they're trying to say. And people are accepting that. Can you believe that? How could anything beautiful come out of chaos? So, you know, people say, what to speak of a watch? They say, you know, that this watch, it just happened, right? What to speak of something like this iPhone, or it's a beautiful machine. Can this just happen from a big bang? It's a wonderful machine. It's like, it's more than a watch. It does so much more. This is actually what they call yantra vidhi. It's a knowledge of machines. It's a way we deal with material nature. And it makes a very efficient machine. Could do so much. You can actually set type in here. You can even set that type for your book. You can even print it from there. Just connect it to a printer on your desk and you can make your book right there. But you can see, just as this iPhone, it does so much, but how can it work if it doesn't have the energy from its battery? You see, so in the same way, the material energy, it can act only when empowered by the spiritual energy. So if this battery is dead, then, well, good. You know, it has no power, and you can't even use it, so it's gone. So this is what happens when we're covered by the cloud of material energy. The living entity, who is also a spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality Godhead, he forgets about the activities of the spiritual energy. He considers that all that happens in the material manifestation to be wonderful. So just like the scientists, they think everything happened by chance, or we have so many wonderful things, creations made by this material energy, this yantra vidhi, and we think it's so wonderful. But a person engaged in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness and is therefore already situated in the spiritual energy can understand that the material energy has no independent powers. And whatever actions are going to going on are due to the help of the spiritual energy. So the material energy, which is a perverted form of the spiritual energy, it presents everything pervertedly, and it causes misconceptions and duality. So we see this matter is inert, right? It's inert. But spirit is living and conscious. So we could see this gross is visible, but the subtle is not visible. So the soul, which is the energy for the body, is beyond our sense perception. I mean, we can't see it, but we can actually feel it. So it's clearly stated that the living entities are eternally small fragments of the supreme spiritual whole. And a part can never be equal to the whole. So the living entity, as a minute fragment of the spiritual whole, cannot be equal at any time to the spirit whole, the absolute personality of Godhead. So even though the Supreme Lord and the living entities are qualitatively are related, they're qualitatively one, but not quantitatively. So they're related as whole and parts. So even though we're the part, we're still qualitatively one with the whole, but not quantitatively. So this way, the Supreme Personality Godhead, Srila Prabhupada says here, is the controller of everything, and the living entities are always controlled, either by the spiritual energy or by the material energy. Therefore, the living entity can never become the controller of material or spiritual energies. The natural position of the living being is always as a subordinate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we agree to act in such a position, he attains perfection in life. But if one rebels against his principle, he is in the conditioned state. So again, it's bringing that point that you are energy. You're not the energetic. You have to be a servant of the energetic. So we see there's two types of objects in this world. Some are animate and some are inanimate. So this material nature, it actually appears. You can see the body is like a machine. And it seems to be just the opposite of the spiritual energy. And the fact is that the material energy can only work when it's in contact with the spiritual energy. So originally the energy of Krishna is spiritual, but it works in diverse ways, like electric energy, which can exhibit the functions of, you know, cooling or heating through its manifestations in different ways. So the material energy is spiritual energy covered by a cloud of illusion or Maya. Therefore, the material energy is not self-sufficient in working. So Krishna invests his spiritual energy into material energy, and then it can act. Just like iron, it can act like fire after being heated by fire. So this shows you how so we have to begin by understanding this difference between the matter and spirit. And we then will begin to understand more about spiritual nature, where the soul is from. And if we're fortunate to receive the scientific understanding, then we can see that we can actually improve our life. And all this information, like I said, there's so many millions and thousands of Vedic literatures, and they all tally with this information. They don't contradict. So we see we come into this material nature, and we develop material bodies by nature's arrangement. So as I mentioned in this verse, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, by natural instinct. So the natural instinct, even of matter, he says, just like the natural instinct of water is what? Is wetness. Or the natural instinct of fire is heat and light. So it's almost like dharma. It's a natural instinct. So we dwell in these bodies for some time. And then when we get that body, we call it birth. And then when we get rid of that body, we call it death. And then that period in between, we call it life. So in this way, the living entities were always traveling on this machine, this Yantra Rudani Mayaya, this machine of the material energy, which is controlled by Maya. So we're riding on this machine. So sometimes we're going up, sometimes we're going down. You know, we get into different species. Sometimes you're a butterfly. Sometimes you're a frog. You know, and you're going higher and higher. You know, then you get into the human form. And this is from Bhagavad Gita describes Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridi Deshi Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantarudani Mayaya. So the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, is telling Arjuna, and it's directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. So here, in that purport to that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or He Himself, Krishna, as a localized supersoul, sits in the heart, directing the living being. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds, but the supersoul, as a knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of the living entities are directed by this supersoul. The living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the supersoul. As soon as a living entity is placed in a particular type of body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. So Prabhupada goes on talking about, you get a particular type of car, it's faster than another kind of car. So we have all these desires, and we get bodies according to those past desires. So we see we're not independent, and we should never think ourselves independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we get different bodies. Sometimes we're, you know, just a manimal. Sometimes we're a king, or you may even become a demigod. So just like these bodies, there's this universal body that we're discussing. And this is described how the whole person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he's the doer of everything, but he doesn't know the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature and which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. So you can see in this image on top, you can see two eyes. So there's a person behind everything, behind this whole nature and this creation. But the person thinks, in false ego, he thinks, I'm doing everything. But actually, everything's being taken place by material nature and Krishna. I mean, what can we do? We can't even do anything, basically, right? Everything is taking place by nature. And one devotee said, all you can do is open your mouth and just hope you get some food. And then everything is taken, digestion, everything is taking place automatically by nature. What can we do? So here, this is what's being described here. The Krishna, the original cause of the spiritual world, and he's the covered cause of the material manifestation, and he's also the original cause of the marginal potency of the living entities. So he's both the leader and is the maintainer of all the living entities, who are called the marginal potency. And because they act under his protection of the spiritual energy or under the cover of the material energy. So we can see we're either under those two energies, either the protection of the material or spiritual energies. And Krishna, he has his inconceivable energies and he acts any way he likes. So there's some nice texts from the Chaitanya Charitamrita I was mentioning to you that I'd like to read. He describes here, and all this energy you see from here, how it was actually created by the different expansions of Krishna. You know, expands into Balaram. First is three energies, you know, Sat, Chit, Ananda. And then he has the energy of Chit, which is Balaram. And then Balaram enters into these different, as is shown here. I don't know if I could show you. That doesn't work here. But in the middle there, you can see there's the quadruple, you know, the four, what do you call them? The first quadruple expansions that are described there. So I can't see it from here. But yeah, in the middle there, the block. And how it expands more and more. So this is being described also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's describing, it's that chapter on the glories of Lord Nityananda, who who is none other than Lord Balaram. So he himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and he does the work of creation in four other forms. And they're expanding on the different verses there that he's explaining. So here he's explaining the ninth verse of that chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he's offering his obeisances to Nityananda Ram, who is a partial representation called Karana, no, Dakshai Vishnu, lying in the Karana ocean. He's the original Purusha, the master of the illusory energy, and the shelter of all the universes. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal Brahman effulgence. And beyond that effulgence is the Karna ocean or Kalja ocean. And surrounding Vaikuntha is a mass of water that is endless, unfathomable, and unlimited. The earth, water, fire, air, and ether of Vaikuntha are all spiritual, material elements, are not found there. So as you see here, it's described, you can see there as it goes down, there's the Brahma Jyoti. And then from there is the Karna ocean. So this Karna ocean is like the causal ocean, which this Karna Dakshaya Vishnu lies down. And you can see as he's lying down, millions and millions of universes are emanating from his pores. And they also emanate from his mouth. So this is amazing how this happens. And then in each of one of those little bubbles, there is a universe. So this is the universe. It's coming from this Karna Dakshaya Vishnu. And Karna Dakshaya Vishnu actually enters into each one of these like little bubbles, which is a universe. And they're all different sizes. So this Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu lies on the Garbha Ocean, which is produced from the you could describe it like perspiration from his body. This is the Garbha. He fills half the universe with that. And then he lies down, and from his navel sprouts a lotus flower. And in that lotus flower, Lord Brahma is born. So he is the first created being, the most intelligent being. And this is who Narada Muni is inquiring from. So this is a real authority, someone who knows what's happening. And he's explaining very humbly that actually my energy, you know, comes from Krishna. Krishna gives me the ideas. You know, Krishna created the house, and I'm just coming like an interior decorator. And I just fill it up. I decorate it. I bring things in. I do this and that. So he's explaining everything like that. So this is the authority that's being described. And it's so nicely described, which we don't have time to discuss in that chapter. It's describing so many verses about how this happens. But this is the Adi 5. And if you want to read that, it's really amazing. It describes that. So here, we're in this reflected reality. And the reflection is like a mirror. You look at your face in the mirror, it looks like you, but the reflection is not your face. It just gives you an idea. So from the reflection, you can see what you look like, but that doesn't mean it's you. And this material world is a perverted reflection of that reality. So see, the material nature is a reflection of the spirituality, and then we can understand what real reality is like. So from the reflection, which is the material world, we can actually understand what the spiritual world is like. So we see big buildings, highways. This is actually not considered to be civilization. You see, we're considered to be a first world country if you're considered materially advanced, if you have money, if you have so many resources like that. But even if a person achieves so much, you know, he gets so many investments, so much property, so many things, and he dies, he has to leave it all behind. So if a person has proper information, then he knows what's going to happen to him now and after he dies. So, and accordingly, he can plan his activities. So this is what's considered to be real civilization. Because one who has wisdom, so spiritual wisdom is actually synonymous to civilization. So to see, it's like a reflection. The spiritual reality there, everything is conscious, everything is eternal. And there's activities there. And all the energy, all the resources is being used to please Krishna. Like that. So here, in this chapter, how creation began, it is very simply but yet profoundly pointed out. How Kardakshayi Vishnu, you know, he creates all these different things come from him, the qualities come, you know, these modes come. So this is what's happening. So Lord Brahma is explaining this to Narada Muni, the system of process of creation. And here, Srila Prabhupada says there are unlimited universes. So Mahavishnu from his mouth, these pores of the body come from, as I mentioned. And they're unlimited. So is this irrational? Actually, fiction is irrational. But these descriptions are very rational. You can actually relate to them as a body. So the material statements are fictitious. And in the name of science, they're coming up with so many funny, funny things. But everything else is actually being taken over by... Everything actually is taken care of by the material modes of nature. So this is what a human being is meant to be. He's meant to inquire about this information so that he can acquire a better future for himself. But when the living entity is enlightened by the grace of the Supreme Lord or his pure devotee, he becomes inclined to revive his original state of loving service. And he is on the most auspicious platform on the eternal bliss and knowledge. So when we have this wisdom, we can structure our future and beyond this lifetime until we actually reach into the spiritual sky. So Krishna, his original cause of the spiritual world and is a covered cause of the material manifestation, as I mentioned. So he is the energetic, he's the source of all the energies. So we have to really understand that, how Prabhupada mentioned again, I'll repeat, the marginal jiva or living entity misuses his independence and becomes averse to the eternal service attitude when he independently thinks he is not energy, but the energetic. This misconception of his own existence leads him to the attitude of lording it over material nature instead of surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the energetic, utilizing our energy to surrender to Krishna. So I'd like to stop there and ask for any comments, questions, or realizations. Thank you. We went over a few minutes, but anyway. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. I know why this doesn't work. Okay.